It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Sometimes we seem to care more when an animal dies than a human being. It's not an uncommon reaction, but one that many folks may not understand. Some people may not understand why others feel that way. Sometimes people may not understand why they feel that way themselves. I'm joined now by Brent Robbins, who is an associate professor and psychology chair and chair with the Department of Humanities and Human Sciences at Point Park University. Brent Robbins, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show. It's an honor and pleasure to be here, Paul.
So what has your research shown? What have you seen about how people react to animal deaths, and what is the reason for why it sometimes touches us more than when we hear about an animal dying, say, for example, in a media story, than a human being who dies on the streets of Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and I think there's some research evidence we can look to help to answer that question. I think Mary actually hit it on the head in the last segment when she used the terms innocence and defenselessness. There's a research study that was done by Arnold Arluck and Jack Levin, where they did an experiment with fake news accounts with different victims. They had a puppy victim, they had an adult dog, a human victim, and then a human infant. And what they found is people were most sympathetic and had their strongest emotional reaction to the human infant, but very close behind was the puppy and the human dog, and very far behind was the human adult. What those groups seem to have in common is a sort of innocence, a quality of innocence and defenselessness, or at least a perception of that. And then there's another really interesting study that where you look at a scenario, you ask participants to make judgments about who they would save if there was a runaway bus. And so you have a group of people, so you have different scenarios where they give to the participants. In one scenario, it's a pet versus a foreign tourist. And the great majority of participants choose the pet over the foreign tourist. And even in the scenario where it's a generic dog, 16% choose the generic dog over the tourist.
Who comes up with these questions is what I want to know. To that idea, I guess this has been a difficult week for people in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It was earlier this week that the Pittsburgh Port Authority police shot a man. It happened over the weekend after the man stabbed a police dog. Media coverage has largely been on the dog. Many people are not happy about that. They feel that a human being died. It might have been a human being with a criminal record, but a man nonetheless. And why isn't more attention being paid to him than to the dog?
I find that very puzzling, and I've seen similar kinds of situations in the news in the past, and it's really puzzled me and been a question I've been interested in. And I think that one place I turn to is a very important and influential concept that has been well researched. It's called the fundamental attribution error, and it means that when it comes to interpreting the behavior of especially other adults, we tend to assume that the person is responsible for the outcome of events. So if a person, gets in an altercation with police and they get shot, we tend to have a bias that somehow that person was responsible for that. That increases when we see that person, we identify less with that person. So like in the case of that experiment with the foreign tourist, when it's somebody we see as other in some way, or it's maybe a certain ethnic groups or certain races that are different than ours, we may be even more biased in that direction to misattribute, not look at the context and not look at the situation. I think in the case of dogs, you think, well, why wouldn't we make a similar attribution to dogs? People tend to perceive dogs as being loyal, again, sort of innocent and defenseless and not responsible for the outcome. And I think that has something to do with the sympathy people feel for the dogs.
Is that misplaced sympathy? Is that a fair question to put to someone like you?
Well, I think I don't think I have an answer to that question. Is it misplaced? But I would say that I think there's a moral inconsistency that we see among people. So often the people who are very sympathetic toward the dogs may be, watching that same news story and, eating chicken or a hamburger, right? So there's clearly an animal involved.
A little hypocrisy going on there.
Yeah. So, and also I think, I think people associate are most sympathetic towards pets is what I'm seeing in the from the research literature that I'm looking at, and dogs and cats and mammals in particular. I think it has something to do with, for lack of a more sophisticated term, cuteness. There's actually a whole there's an evolutionary theory that that neonate type features like baby like infant like features in animals, and we see that in mammals in particular, elicit our sympathies. And I think that there's an evolutionary reason for that. If anybody's ever had a 2-year-old, you know that there's times when, you know, right. You imagine if you were on the African savannas, if that child wasn't so cute, you might abandon it.
Well, you made me that's an interesting comment, and I'm trying to remember. I guess where I thought you were going with that is that they say that a dog's mentality or intelligence level is it about that of a 3 or 4 year old child.
Right, so, right, right.
So that they identify with the dog because it's this sort of childlike.
Well, I think that's one creature. Of the points is that the perception of innocence and neonate qualities, infant like qualities are associated with innocence.
And a lot of us are guilty of talking to dogs in a baby talk kind of way.
Right. But I also think there's something very primal that has a deep evolutionary history where we have emotional reaction to neonatal features in animals and in people. So if you watch, you know, I'm on Facebook all the time and my friends love to pass around images of baby animals all the time, typically mammals. Well, mammals are animals that have innate attachment mechanisms, right? They so that they attach, the mothers attach to their infants and their infants attach to their mothers. And that comes from a very primal system that's important for our survival. And we share that with mammals as mammals ourselves. So when we see an animal that has infant-like features, even if it's an adult animal that has, you know, sort of human infant-like qualities like big eyes and a head that's larger than their body, we tend to see that as it elicits these sort of primal emotions of sympathy.
Does social media sometimes lead to our emotions getting played a little bit just with all the attention that's drawn?
I think so. I think there's a lot of news stories that I think a lot of newscasters on some level know that if they're choosing, or producers know, if they choose stories that are going to produce that kind of emotional reaction, they're going to get a lot of interest. The story's going to be... people are going to pay attention. They're going to tune in. And I think that when you're talking about human victims, it's so ubiquitous. It's so common. Every day people are dying. It's very difficult to really identify with all those victims. It can feel very overwhelming. And if you really start to think about human deaths in a way that really considers the humanity of the people who've died, it elicits our own death anxiety. And we don't want to think about that. You know, we want to just move on with our day. And so I think people are much more likely to distance themselves from considering the death of a human being. And they're more likely to identify with a pet or a death of an animal because there's enough of a distance that it doesn't elicit our own fears of mortality.
Well, you've given us a lot of insight into this.
Oh, thank you.
In just a 10-minute span of time. I think I understand it a lot better than I certainly did going into it. So I want to thank you. Brent Robbins, Associate Professor and Psychology Chair, Department of Humanities and Human Sciences, Point Park University. As always, thanks for coming in and clarifying our thoughts.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks so much. It was a lot of fun.
Or the reason behind our thoughts. And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Later this week, Friday, in fact, Governor Wolf joins us to perhaps give us a glimpse into his budget address coming up next week. It should be interesting, especially since we don't have a budget now. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.